Amen. What a blessing this Sabbath has already been. Amen?
Amen.
What a privilege. No better. And I look forward to the day where every Sabbath we have baptisms. Amen.
Yes.
There's no greater gift than that. So I want to invite Clay and Trish to just step right here with me. We've got a little gift to give to you both, and we've got your baptismal certificate to kind of commemorate this moment. And we just praise the Lord for you both. I failed to mention that today, not only were they rebaptized, but today is their sixth-year wedding anniversary.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for that. Amen. God is good. So they chose this date very specifically for that rebaptism, and I just praise God for both of you.
Yes.
May God continue to bless you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you both. And now, Athena, come on up. What a blessing of Athena's decision that she's made, and Pastor Josh has, we've been blessed with Pastor Josh and doing Bible studies over in the school for many months and over the past year, and we've got more baptisms to come from Bowman Hills Elementary, praise God, because of the work that God is using him over there. But Athena, we praise God for you and for your decision that you've made today, and we've got this gift for you. And also your baptismal certificate in there for you to commemorate this. But we want to go ahead as a church family to bring Athena in as an official member of the Bowman Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I want to see all the hands of all the church members who want to welcome Athena in. Praise God. Welcome to the family, Athena. God bless you. When you study Revelation and Matthew and their Christmas story, you discover that they parallel each other. The Christmas story in Revelation parallels the Christmas story in Matthew. In Matthew 2:16, it says that Herod became furious and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under. And Revelation 12:4 parallels that with the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. My subject is, my homily this morning is, joy comes after the pain. Let's pray. Most gracious God, fill this place, continue to fill this place with your spirit. Hide me behind your cross. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christmas story in Matthew or Revelation is pretty simple. Basically, the devil wants to kill you and your hope in Christ before your hope in Christ can be born in your life. In Matthew, the woman is Mary. All right, it's local. It's in a particular time and place. But when we get to Revelation, the woman is not just Mary, but it is the entire church. What once was local has now become universal. You see, Mary's experience in Bethlehem is the Christian's experience in the church. You still didn't get that. The story of Christmas is the story of your Christian life. Okay? It is the story of our faith. Tristan and Taylor, Tristan, you right there. He loves it when I embarrass him like that. Tristan and Taylor, who's up there with his sister in the balcony, they were all born within 20 minutes of arriving at the hospital. These kids came quickly. And so when we got there, we made our way quickly to the delivery room, and very quickly after we got there, they were born. Nurses delivered my last two kids. The doctor just showed up with a handshake and a bill. And so they came quickly, man. There wasn't any time for any kind of epidural or any preparation, and it just happened quickly. And when I got there, my wife had to go up first. I had to work on some insurance. And then as I went upstairs to try to find my wife, I went up to one of the hospital staff, and I said, "Can you tell me where my..." And I heard the cries from the delivery room. And I said, "Never mind, I hear her. I'll go to her." And, you know, these kids came quickly, and so my wife can relate to Revelation 12:2 firsthand, and that is crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Can any mothers relate today?
Amen.
Giving birth, as I don't know from experience, but I am told and what I've seen in my four kids being born, giving birth is intense. The pain is intense. The pain takes your breath away. It's so strong, you don't know if you're going to make it. You see, the decision to have children is a decision to have pain. So is the decision to follow Christ. It is a decision to have pain in your life. Revelation 12:13 says, the dragon pursued the woman. The woman is the church who had given birth to the male child. This isn't just talking about Mary. This is talking about your life. When you're baptized, the dragon puts a target and he follows and pursues after you. The Bible says the enemy is after you with great wrath. You see, the devil hates Christmas. The devil hates your faith. He hates your dedication. The devil hates your hope. He hates you because of what you stand for in Christ. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know what? No wonder you didn't want to come to church today. No wonder you woke up with a migraine this morning. No wonder the kids cried especially loud today, and you and your spouse haven't been speaking. The devil is after you, and he wants to devour you. The word devour here means to eat up, but not just eat up. It means to eat up in a hurry. The devil wants to eat you up in a hurry. He wants to, it's a word that means swallow whole. The devil wants to swallow your hope whole today. He wants to swallow you up, chew you up, and spit you out, which is why making it through one day, friends, is a miracle. Amen? Just making it through one day alive is a miracle. If the enemy had his way, he would have killed you before you were born. You see, the dragon stood before your mother before you were born, waiting so that when you were born, he might devour you. When you were reborn in Christ, the dragon stood before you to devour you. Just breathing is contrary to the devil's plan for your life. And if we could see all the times that God's protected us just this week alone, we wouldn't come into church with our head held down low. We'd come in here with our head held high and praising God. We couldn't be quiet if we saw all the times that God has stepped in our lives. No wonder there's so much shouting and singing in heaven. Whenever you look at heaven, it's the shoutings, hosannas, praise God. Because when we see the behind-the-scene footage in heaven of how God got you from here to there, we're going to be shouting for the first 1,000 years. You're not going to be able to hold back. You're not going to be timid. You ain't going to mumble out some measly amen. You're going to shout praises to God. Matthew 2:13, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. You need to remain where God tells you. Amen, church. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. With the parallel in Revelation is in verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness where there was a place prepared by God. You see, God doesn't prevent the pain, but he always has a place of protection prepared. God's not going to keep you from going through the pain, but he will always provide protection. But you've got to be willing to do what Joseph and Mary and Jesus did. What did they do? Well, they got up and went when God said, get up and go. You got to get up when God says go. Go. No more riding the fence. No more playing with that sin. No more going to that place you know you have no business going. No more. Leave the bad attitude behind. Leave that habit like you're about to leave 2019. Behold, today is the day of salvation. God always provides a place of protection. Paul tells the church in Corinth, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. See, God thinks a lot of you, obviously. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of what? That you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Notice it doesn't say walk from idolatry. It says you better run from idolatry. Don't just walk away from the sin. Run away from the sin. Get up and go to the place that Jesus has prepared. Think about the life of, the Christmas story. It's the story of your life. Jesus was uprooted from his home. Jesus became an immigrant. very quickly. He had escaped persecution and he had to go over to Egypt. And so Jesus, the Son of God, the one who created this world, was an immigrant. Everything got turned upside down. Make no mistake, if you follow Christ, your world will get turned upside down. Some of us have lost families because of Christ. Some of us have lost finances because of Christ. Some of us have lost jobs because of Christ, lost property or prosperity or popularity. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay because I read in Philippians 3:8, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as what? Garbage. Some translations say rubbish, so that I can gain Christ. Every mother will tell you their child was worth the pain of having them. So is Christ. The pain of being a disciple does not measure up to the joy that you have in Christ Jesus. No pain, no gain. You want to gain Christ? There's going to be some pain. Romans 8:17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. When Joseph, Mary, and Jesus returned from Egypt, Matthew 2:23 says they went and lived in a city called Nazareth. Nazareth was the ghetto of Galilee, okay? You know, Nazareth was the projects of Palestine. I know someone's going to really enjoy that statement. You see, when Nathanael hears Jesus was from Nazareth, and you can contextualize this, you've been to some bad neighborhoods, you've been to some areas, and so contextualize that. So when Nathanael hears Jesus came from Nazareth, he asks the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see, Jesus moved into Nazareth in order to let you know today something good can come out of that bad situation. Something good can come out of a person with a bad reputation. My life is a testament to that. Hallelujah. Jesus was born in a barn. You know, he didn't come when it was convenient. The baby does not ask the mother if it works into her schedule when the child arrives. It was not convenient. Delivering Christ isn't convenient to the world. Delivering Christ to the world isn't convenient either. You want convenience? Get out of the church. You came to the wrong place. There's nothing convenient about following Christ. It's a cross, and you got to pick it up, and you got to deny yourself, and we don't like to deny ourselves. It's not convenient. The due date that the doctor gives, everybody knows that's really just a suggestion. Baby's going to come when the baby wants to come. They've gotten really good and about those due dates, but still, ultimately, the child's going to come when the child wants to come. So is Jesus. Jesus is going to come when Jesus wants to come. Jesus is going to step into your life when Jesus wants to step into your life. Jesus is going to save your guts even when you don't have the brains to let him. Because that's the God that we serve. Jesus' first bed was in a feeding trough. You want to talk about uncomfortable. FYI, giving birth to Christ in this world is going to be uncomfortable. Think about it. The only people that the angels could get to Jesus's birth, the only people the angels could get to the birth of the creator of the universe were some unshowered shepherds and some livestock. Jesus wasn't born. It wasn't a popular birth. Delivering Christ isn't always going to be popular. Jesus was born in the middle of the night. It was a dark, dark, we live in a very dark world. Isaiah says, 8:22, they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into, notice it says, not just a darkness, a thick darkness. Maybe some of you are going through a thick darkness today. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. You don't know how your marriage is ever going to make it. I've got good news for you today. You see, Jesus was born when it was the darkest. It was the darkest time in Earth's history. It was dark with Herod's jealousy. It was dark with Roman oppression. It was dark with poverty, violence, and pain. Jesus was born when there was very little peace on Earth and almost no goodwill towards men. Herod tries to kill Christ before he was born. And friends, that's what the devil is going to try to do to your hope. But the good news to our hearts today is the message of Christmas tells us that right in the middle of the thickest darkness the world has ever seen, the most beautiful light that ever appeared. Maybe this Christmas is especially dark for you. I want you to remember something important, and that is Jesus was born at night when it was dark. Maybe this Christmas is especially dark for you. I want you to remember, had the shepherds not been working the graveyard shift, they never would have been invited to celebrate in the birth of the King of Kings. It had to be dark for the wise men to be able to follow the star. You see, darker the night, the brighter the light. John says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christ died in the dark so that you and I could have light in our hearts today. Isaiah tells us the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad and divide the spoil. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The verse 3 is a powerful statement. It says that our joy will increase. It says that our joy will increase, that it'll be like the joy we experience at the harvest. I will never forget how my wife's face changed. She couldn't be here today. She had to be at the hospital helping the sick. But I'll never forget how my wife's face changed. It was like immediately. It went immediately from the worst possible pain you could think of to the most incredible joy I've ever seen. In an instant, it goes from the excruciating pain of giving birth gave way to the ultimate relief. Her pain was immediately swallowed up with joy, and that can happen to you today if you would allow Christ to be born in your life. Yes, the decision to follow Christ in your to deliver Christ in the world is a decision to go through pain. But remember, church, joy always comes after the pain. And one day soon, Jesus is going to come again, and there is going to be an incredible harvest. This time, he's not going to come as a child, but as a king. It's not going to be in a small corner of the world, but every eye shall see him. Amen. When we finally finish delivering Christ to the world, there is not going to be a little harvest. There is going to be a great harvest of joy. The pain, hallelujah, will finally end, and the joy will finally begin. Most gracious God, we thank you and praise you for the awesome God that you are. Continue to go with us this day. Lord, I pray that the words from these songs and from your word will imbue us with hope today, that we will leave here knowing that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, that no matter how much pain we may be going through, joy always comes after the pain. Lord, I pray that that joy may be what we keep our eyes on this day and the rest of this year and coming into this next year. Lord, go with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.